My name is Chris Jordan, and welcome to a really special podcast passion project of mine, a mini-series called Coffee with Convicts. This year, I met and I partnered up with three remarkable men in a joint project who are all ex-convicts and have served an accumulative odd 42 years in prison here in South Africa. When I met the guys who now head a spiritual rehabilitation program as a collective NGO for prisoners nationwide, so many questions of what lay beyond the prison walls and that life came to mind, that black box, so to speak, of what we see an input and an output and a very surface level understanding of the ecosystem that comes with a life sentence. This short series aims to ask some of the grittier questions that external media sources haven't been able to nor have needed a buy-in or are interested in exploring. Please enjoy this part of this journey. And I want to get back, also I want to touch on the, you know, kind of like that environment where you're sharing with your family as well. You mentioned, you know, your kids, your wife. Like, how did that work out? Like, how did that go? And how did you work through that, if you did work through it?
When I was inside, I was starting to look myself, now, tell myself that I know my family is not here, my wife is not here, my kid is not here. And then I was arrested for armed robbery. And then, which means everything is wrong. But now, if I'm in prison, I must bring my family back because of my wife was angry for me.
Yeah, but and did they come immediately or did they say
no? No. 3 years before he came because he was angry.
Wow.
He didn't know I'm stealing or I'm robbing people. Always I'm saying I'm waking. When I come with money home, I'm waking.
Yeah.
Waking.
Yeah.
But when she found out that I'm not waking, I was a gangster and robbing people and blah blah. She didn't long to come to me. My first program was anger management.
Okay.
And then after anger management, I get a certificate.
Right.
I make a copy for the certificate, I send it to home so that he can see I change in my I do anger. Number two, I do life skills.
Right.
After life skills, I send it again to home so that he can see I try to change.
Right.
And then number three, I do drug, human abuse, alcohol abuse and drug and all. You see, after that,
complete.
Yeah, I send it there.
Yeah.
That's what my wife changed. See, well,
yeah.
These guys change me here directly. Then come to the visit.
Go ahead. You all have families, is that correct in saying? Relationships with your parents and what their process was through supporting you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My father told me straight. He said, I can't support you.
Yeah.
But amen. You do things on your own thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm never come in the prison. I can't visit you. You must make your sentence till you come out. You come face to face me and you meet. And then.
And was that what happened? Like the years passed and then you go see your dad?
No, my daddy passed away. He's still in the same place. I was
prison. Sure, I'm sorry, yeah.
And my young sister came and passed away. Still I was prison. And my auntie, all people I was loving, helping me. All of them. I left with my mom and my brother and my young brother and my young sister.
Yeah, it's good. I'll put you.
Yeah. And then from there, and then I arrange with the social worker in prison.
Mm.
And then social worker go to my family, my mother, my brother, my young sister, and my young brother. Tell them about me,
right,
and my changes and my colleague, because of my colleague who was a threat.
Mm.
Also remember, it was the first time these people saw people like me,
right,
the traditional kiyas and blah blah, you see. And then I must get all those things inside, and then I can't because of I must go first to area commission, head of prison, approve that things must come inside because of the prison doesn't trust the people who are wearing traditional gears. You say you want to escape, blah blah, you wish.
Yeah, you kind of like making a.
And then we managed
fake,
to fight with my team.
Yeah.
And then till we go to the high court for this thing.
Wow.
We win.
Yeah.
The court said no. Every person who was inside in the prison, he had a right to perform your relationship.
So when you do file, like let's say something like that, like a legal action, is it a social worker, as a legal social worker that helps you out in doing this?
Yeah, it's a correctional social worker. And a social worker. There's another one, is working with a psychologist, psychologist, psychiatrist. All this team was together with me and assist me to change everything.
What did your mom, what is your mom's relationship like with you?
My mom, because of this, his
dream,
was that not good. But after I was in prison, sentenced 15 years, my relationship with my mom started to grow.
Right.
Whereby my mom can see a child, my child, go far. When I'm not supporting him, maybe I don't see him again. What? My mom started to come to me, visit me, give me hope, everything I need in my, during time of sentence, she was there for me and assist me. So tell me one thing, never forget your grandfather's focus, because if it's the one who have your life, because of his hands. That support of my mom, even today.
That's great.
Myself, my relationship with my mom, after that, actually, I broke her heart, and I felt like a disappointment, and she gave me motherly support as much as she could, so she would, her and my sister, she would come once or twice a year, but my sister would come every month. So by then, I wasn't yet in that state that I'm changing. So when I enter inside, when they come on monthly basis, I told them not to bring me anything except History Note and You magazine. Yeah, what I used to do with that, there was a chapter or a certain inside that magazine that lost, somebody maybe lost his son, he gave it out for adoption in 1980, they are looking for them. I would phone those people and lie and say I know where they are, they must come visit me, and then I name whatever I want, the amount I want to help them get their child. And they will bring that to me, and I'll send them to a wrong address, and when they don't get that person, they phone me, I phone them again, I tell them no, I found the new place, they must come again with more money until they can't come again. And yeah, that's how I used to survive.
That type of like I say, it's a fight or flight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To like you're saying, I'm gonna do what I need to do to survive.
Yeah.
You know?
And because now that place, it's hell. There's no, if there's no hell in that the Bible is talking about, there is hell on earth. That one is hell. People fight for chappies. You know, things that are not happening inside, they happen outside, inside there. People fight for another boy, you know, two guys fighting for a boy who doesn't even have a clue. They are fighting for him, you know. It's another world, like a world that you never imagine. And please don't ever try and wanna experience what we went through, because trust me, one day is equal to 1 year, like the pain.
When you had your downs while you're doing your time, and then you find a way to build yourself up, but then it goes down again, you know, and that obviously happens, man, over months, like you said, the years. why try again? Like, even to, like I say, even to rehabilitate yourself, so that even just for mood, man, mood can kill you. Like, your mindset can just kill you on its own. You'll slowly deprecate as it is. Never mind hustling inside, being part of one of the gangs, rising up, rising down, hustling a little bit here. How did you keep getting up, Vincent? Yeah.
Honestly, Mr. Jordan, sorry for that.
No.
I would like to start first with the disappointment from my family. After my sentence, my mother gets sick, because I was the one within his children got sentenced. And it was the first time to experience that.
Now, in what way? So you say she got ill?
She didn't get high blood. She used to smoke a lot.
Right.
She ended up getting a slimmer body.
Yeah.
It was even a fit body, but not as fat as what, size. But at the end of the day, it was so tiny because of the stress and thinking too much, smoking too much. I used to tell him that you must not come and see me.
Yeah.
It's better to send me money.
Yeah.
You see, my post office. so that we can communicate through letter, and we can also communicate through telephonically. One of my friends used to write letters on behalf of me, because my mother was illiterate. One of my best friends used to write letters on behalf of my mother. When I wrote letters, he used to read the letters on behalf of me, so my mother can understand what was transpiring when I was there.
Can you, which one of those letters can you remember, like it was this morning, 9 o'clock or whatever it is? Tell us what she was writing that changed, kept you going, maybe hurt the most. Did she save your life any couple of times?
I remember that letter that came whilst I was at Gudamas in Tumule prison, which is the first prison that was built as a private prison coming from United States of America. The letter I received, it was saying to me that, Vincent, my child, remember, you're not alone. I love you, and I will always put you in my prayers. And remember, don't forget your ancestors. Your ancestors are there. They're there to protect you. Whatever that we are doing, please, remember them, and also involve God within your prayers.
Was that relationship with God and with religion, was that also a battle? I mean, you know what? A lot of people always criticize spirituality and religion. To be able to depend on, especially when you are going through a lot, instead of trying to like knee-jerk reaction, not turning towards blind faith. Was there any struggle between having a conversation?
Remember, before our sentence, I was not a member that believed too much in religions and churches like that.
Right.
But I used to go to Catholic, but they used to do rituals at my home. Mm. But I was not having that more knowledge about those things because I was not understanding them. Mm. But when I get inside, it's so I start to ask myself that it is real, God is living, or God is not there, or God is alive, or what?
Yeah.
But who's God? I start to ask myself such question. Who's God?
Yeah.
I start to dig too much about God issues.
Yeah.
It's whereby when my mother sent me that kind of information, that no, you must not forget your ancestors as your guardians. I must not forget also God. Yeah. I'm always putting you in my prayers.
Mm.
I ask myself, I survived 2 years waiting trial without having any quarrels that I was stabbed or what.
Yeah.
They were fighting, but they were fighting, small fighting, but not that real fight that I can go stab or pour by hot water or be bent by a hot iron or what, things like that. At the end of the day, I thought, man, God is alive.
Yeah.
Let me focus on this thing. It's where I start to have visions.
Mm.
Visions that tell me that, no, you must not follow other religions, follow African religions. It's where your ancestors will be taught you everything, so that you must understand the way of life, so that you can get the enlightenment about African spirituality.
Yeah.
It's whereby I started to follow African, because by then I was a Muslim.
Mm.
At home the way we used to go to Catholic, why didn't choose my own religion, do my own research, understand more about religion.
Yeah.
I went to libraries, had to do research, did more, I read in Sofabias, want to know about the religion issue. I start to read about different religion now.
Yeah.
So I start to understand that African religion is the religion that started a lot of religion within this universe.
Yeah.
Within this, so I started to say, no, now I have to do more research about this African religion.
That leads us to the journey as to where you are. All three, you found a common ground. Okay, let me end with one last question. Is there kind of like reputation to kind of keep up as well within prison? Did this weaken you in any kind of way? What kind of relationships did you change within there? How does that actually work? So you spoke about the groups as well. How did that work for you?
In terms of spirituality, what I could say is that I just followed anything. I prayed with different churches, different religions, hoping that whatever way that will work, it will just touch me in that sense that I'm not aware. So I could go to Muslims, I would go to ZCC, I would go to Christian, I would go to any other African, and believing that, okay, I'm not going there to do anything wrong. If whatever way or whichever one works, it will heal me or helped me in that way. And that's when I learned human beings, how human behave when they are in a place where they have no choice and they have no life, because that is hell. We were all zombies. We eat at the same time. Imagine you eat pap and boiled eggs every day. I mean,
but you said there about you learned about how people behave.
Personally, yeah. As a gangster, I was not scared of anyone, so I would go even for big guys who train and do whatever I want. I can just rob them anyhow, and they can never touch me because they are not into any gangster. And if you are not, we say you only have one eye. And if you try to touch me, all my gangster members will be there, and you find we are 100 for one person, and you won't succeed in that sense. So I would do whatever.
Inside and outside.
That's inside and outside.
So let's just break that down as well.
All other gangster members, we have a peace deal with as long as you are in one of the gangster groups, we all have peace deal that we will respect each other, we won't do anything wrong, and if we have a problem, we'll approach each other nicely. But to those who are not a member of any gangster, so we could do whatever we want to do with you anyhow we want, and you have no say.
So there were guys in prison that did not belong to...
Yes, there is a lot of guys who did not, because they're scared of the unknown. They don't know what's... Because this thing is good, but you only people who's against you is your team members if you do wrong things. So your gangster members can fight you big time if you do them wrong, but you are protected from any other person. So it's still not actually... it's good, but not good if you don't know what you're in for.
Did the guys lost that were not in gangs? I mean...
Not really that you last. Most of them, they get convinced to be part of the gangsters one after the other, because they can see it's better life if you are one of us than to be one of those in the dark.
Well, I mean, were there extreme attacks?
There were extreme attacks. People fight, people kill each other.
So that happened.
I witnessed a murder. One of my cellmates was killed, and then it was a gangster move, and he was not killed for anything, just for the other one, just to prove to this gangster that he's got that kind of heart to do whatever they want him to do.
How was he killed?
He was stabbed to death with a spoon that was changed to become a knife.
Had you seen a dead body before?
Yeah, well, not in funerals and stuff, but not in that sense that I see a live body spread going out in a place where we are caged, so you won't be able to get out. That's when I realized, thanks God, I decided to be part of a gang, because being part of not a gang in prison is a problem, because you are one of the target to all the gang members or all the different types of gangsters.
Jesus. I want to actually close it there. I'll continue it, because I think a lot of people, it makes me think a lot, make others think a lot as well. Chaos before certain crimes or whatever it is, you're bringing home some cash for your family, that type of thing. Then you go into the chaos of being convicted, going into prison. And then is when you get out, because there's this whole adjustment that you made already. The world has passed you by, man, people have passed you by, everything has passed you by, and then you want to decide to spark another version of your life. And we all know, I think this is very accurate to say, is when you approach people, let's say for opportunities, or do you feel the need that you have to disclaim that you were in prison? Is that necessary?
Can I say something, Mr. Jordan? To be honest with you, Mr. Jordan, in correctional services, they've got programs that they can help individuals if you're willing to accept those programs to work for your advantage.
Yeah.
When you go to the CMC, which is Case Management Committee, they will tell you about the opportunities that are there and the programs that are there to assist you.
Okay.
Those programs that are there and they were accredited by the Head Office of Correctional Services.
But I want to, again, I'm talking about, like, let's say here, we're sitting here, you understand? Back then when you stepped out, even through, obviously, the rehabilitation within prison, the growth, whatever it is, you come back, you close your own door and your own place, switch your own lights off, you decide to eat when you want to eat, you start interacting with the world again. Do you feel like people, did they either demand your history? Or did you feel like you had to give that up to
continue.
For the first day when you get released, you start to wonder what's going to happen to the outside world, because you have been absent here for many years without having that kind of environment. You're used to the remote environment, but now you have to adjust your system to tell yourself that now I'm going outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet another world, which means it's not going to be the way I want to be, the way I wish to be it, the way I want it. But at the end of the day, I have to go and meet people. And I left people behind.
Yeah.
And I left those who are coming behind. They don't know me.
Yeah.
And it's up to me to have a nice way to divide myself to those people, especially my family and the young ones. Because the young ones, they tend to those people who come from jail. Those are our role models.
I'll go back,
You see, they want to come to me to have more information about jail and everything. The only thing that you have to tell them is to say, prison is not a safe place.
Yeah.
I have to understand that now. The life that I used to live is no longer there.
Yeah, but you've made it.
Things that have evolved.
Yeah, that's
you see now. Things have evolved. And if things have evolved, which means I have to climatize and adapt as much as I used to do when I was inside. Because I used to climatize and adapt and evolve.
That's what I was going to say. So like you almost had the skill. I don't believe that you can apply one thing in your life to another part of your life, because so many different things are happening in your life. So you would adjust what you know and then see if that works and move forward. Okay, I'm gonna stop it right there. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for joining us with this part of Coffee with Convicts, a mini series from Chris Jordan Media. We'll see you in the next one. Follow us on Instagram @Chris Jordan Media or go to my landing page, ChrisJordanMedia.net.